the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. Isn't he worthy of our worship? Let's stand to our feet and get ready to worship the one who has done all of those things and is still doing great things today. Amen.
See what the Savior has done.
So this is a new song, and it talks about the joy of the Lord and Him being our strength. And then if you have the joy of the Lord, the enemy cannot take that away from you. The joy of the Lord is our salvation, which He can never steal or take away. So let's just show Him that we believe that we are in His fold, that He has saved us, that He has conquered death. Amen.
This is the day You made, so I'll rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad in it. This is where I believe that You are more than enough.
morning. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. Live streamers, good to have you wherever you're watching at. And be able to watch online is a blessing. But if you can be here, we'd love for you to be here in the house. So hopefully next Sunday morning you can join us. But I'm glad you're able to catch us online today if you're not able to make it here. Well, everybody, it's good to see you today. Everybody doing well? Yeah? Everybody happy? Well, at least smile, right? Everybody give a big smile, big smiles. All right, there you go. It's good to see those pearly whites. You know, when I was a kid, I don't smile. When I was a kid, they wanted me to get braces, and I never did it, and I regretted it. And so my smile is as much as you don't see why I needed braces. So anyways, but it's good to have you, though. I'm glad you're smiling. All right, tithe and offering. If you have something to give, you can prep that. Offering envelopes in the chairs in front of you. If not, wave your hand around. One of the ushers will help you out. And also, they have prayer cards. We'd love to join with you in prayer over your prayer needs. Every Monday from 6 to 7 o'clock, we have church-wide prayer here at the church. We pray over these, but I also pray over them personally. So please be sure to grab one of these from the ushers, fill it out, get it back to them or myself. We'll be joining with you in prayer. But your giving is important, and we thank you. By the way, did you guys notice the new speakers today? How many know it sounds better? My goodness, amen. And I know, can I be real honest with you? I hate spending church money on that stuff, but it's nice to have. So your giving does stuff like this. So, and this wasn't 10 bucks, okay? It cost some cash. But I hate spending money on this, but it's good to do this stuff. So your giving, it takes care of the needs of the house, but also then what we do outside the house, which is to me as much, if not a bigger focus to what we're trying to do as a church. But we appreciate your giving and your faithfulness to that. Amen? So I'm going to pray over your offering and your tithes. If you have something, you can bring it down. Lord, we thank you to be able to come here today and just to be with one another in fellowship and in worship of you. and our time in the Word together to glorify you in all that we do. And I pray as we give today, again, these are just moments of our life where we're just constantly committing ourselves to you, that you are who you said you are, and we believe and we stand in it and we live by it in all aspects of our life, including our finances, Lord, that there's nothing outside of your direction and what you would have us do. And I pray that giving is just another testament to that, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we all say amen. Amen.
All right. Oh, I feel like I'm loud. Okay, hi. Good morning, everyone. So I just wanted to encourage everyone, if you have not filled out one of these, so that we have your contact information, or if there's anyone new here, go ahead and fill this out. Not only does it give us information for you to get things to you, if we're having something come up, we can get to you, but also, just like with the prayer cards, I know Kylan prays over these. He prays over every single person, and having this and having a name is just really, it's really helpful. And also, if you want to know a little bit about the church, we've got these in the seats in front of you. Well, maybe. Hopefully they're in the seats in front of you. I know sometimes they're not always there, but if you want to know a little bit about the church, we do have these, or you can ask us. We'll be able to give you one if you need one. And also, I wanted to announce this Friday. You did announce this already, right?
No, you can.
You did.
Oh, yeah,
on Wednesday.
I've been announcing it. Okay. We have for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
You just haven't been in church.
Listen, I wasn't here. I'm sorry. I went to go see my granddaughter. Sorry. I love y'all, but I went to go see her. So,
I was here, though, just so you know. I was here.
Yeah, I'm not really all that sorry. I'm sorry. Sorry that I'm not sorry. But we have this Friday for the ladies. We're going to do, it's kind of last minute, but I wanted to put together we want to just do a fall get together for the ladies, right? Just have some time to come and talk and eat and all the fun things that we like to do. We can play games. Samara, I know you're a game player.
So we'll play games.
Yeah, we'll bring
gonna
games.
Going to have a bonfire outside?
We are. Well, if Judah comes and puts it together. Did you know that? That's your thing. So, because I don't know how to do it. So, but it's going to be this Friday, the 25th. Can you believe we're almost at the end of October? I can't believe it. But the 25th at 6:30 is what
I had been saying. 6 o'clock. So I was wrong. It's 6:30.
It is 6:30. Listen, I have to have time to get here.
Okay.
Yeah. So 6:30. And I know that you had mentioned to a couple of people about bringing...
Yeah, we need a couple ladies to make a big pot of or crock pot of chili. I know one person said they would, but if somebody else would volunteer to do that, that way there's chili
and
that
then
night.
I know I'm going to make something fall. I don't know what. It'll either be apple or pumpkin something. I don't know what. What?
Apple, I like, yes.
How about you make apple?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're going to make chili.
So.
But whenever she makes apple, she has to make two.
I know.
One for me and one for the rest of y'all. Because if she doesn't, I'll take a piece of it as it's going out the door, and then that will.
He will.
Yeah.
So anyway, just come on out.
We're going to pass the sign sheet around for us since we didn't have one out. That way we know just about how many people to prep for. So if this can just make it around the room, it'll be sitting back there for Wednesday night too. So that's for this Friday at 6:30.
Yes.
And then it replaces, by the way.
It does. Yeah. It's replacing the coffee the next morning because I'll probably have coffee. So we'll just do coffee the night before. So, and decaf for those of you who need that at
yeah.
night. So.
Drink light. All right. So no coffee, ladies, next Saturday at 9, but the thing
instead,
Friday night.
We're going to do it, yeah.
All right, good deal. Thank you. Also, some other things. Don't forget Christmas shoe boxes. These are due November the 17th. If you have questions about that, see Bill or Patsy. Also, next Sunday, a Bill and Patsy thing. Joy Fellowship is for the older generations in our church, one of the small groups we have here, next Sunday at 5 o'clock right here. They meet down in the basement. It is a carry-in, food and fellowship and some time in the Word. But if you don't bring some food, they'll let you come in anyways. But that's next Sunday at 5 o'clock. And also, by the way, the different small groups that are happening, they're all posted on the backboard, but here is a brand new one that we're starting up. And Vinny and Tish, wave your hands around. they're going to head this up, so you can ask them a bunch of questions about it. The first one is November the 16th. It is for girls and ladies, ages 8 and up, and they just have a desire to get with not only ladies, but some of the younger girls in our church to start to teach them some different things as according to life. And the first thing, they're going to do some teaching and cooking that day, which I think is going to be fun. So, but I'm assuming that whatever you cook, you're going to have for church the next day. Ah, see, that's a plan. I like that. So if you have questions about that, Seabor or Tish or Pat, or yeah, Tish or Vinny, there you go. And they'll answer all your questions. They're monthly going to have something going on. So we'll get the schedule out. But that's the very first one, Saturday, November 16th. And then, by the way, guys, we don't put the sign-up sheet out for this just yet. But the following Saturday, November 23rd, we have a men's breakfast again. So more details coming about that. And certainly, as you guys know, each year we take up what we call our Thanksgiving offering. And so I'll give you more details about that. So you can plan for that. We receive a tithe and offering every Sunday. But once a year, we give a Thanksgiving offering that we as a church designate towards something in the church that needs done that helps us get some projects done. So we'll give you more details about that. But that's taken up the week of Thanksgiving. So you can start planning for that and just praying if God would put something on your heart to give towards that offering. Amen. And by the way, also, don't forget in Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving, we don't do a Wednesday night service, but we do what we call Turkey Tuesday. So our Wednesday midweek service is Tuesday night and not Wednesday. That way people that are traveling for Thanksgiving and prepping and all that can be ready for that on Thursday. All right. So if you have your Bibles, let's get them out today. I'm glad you're here, and I'm excited for our time in the Word today. And with all the things that have been going on concerning our country, we've had two hurricanes recently, extensive damage. We actually know some people that were down there and experienced some of this stuff. You have that going on, and then you have the other side of it. Everybody knows we have an election coming up, and certainly not just the election, but there's things on the ballot that we're choosing. Make sure, if ever, you should always be praying for our nation. Even when you think things are good, you don't just pray when things are bad. God is not an ATM machine that you show up to when you need something. Prayer, the first step of prayer is fellowship, relational. So you should be in prayer no matter what. But you should always be in prayer for our nation, regardless, that we pray for our leaders, we pray for the state of our nation. The biggest thing is, and I've shared this with you, you should all participate in the election that's coming up. Amen. Don't forsake the right that you have to vote. Not all nations get what we get. I'm thankful for it. Okay, so participate. Do it in wisdom. If there's things on the ballot that you don't know what it is, research it before you get to the ballot box. Know what you're voting for. Amen. Or not voting for. You see what I'm saying? Do your research. Pray about it. Do it wisdom. Amen? So that's coming up. And these things do matter. So please, as the church, we must be out to vote. But secondly, beyond that, for our nation, and then you know this is my heart, the biggest thing our nation needs is just simply Jesus to come in a way of revival, that the Holy Spirit moves in a powerful way, because that's very subversive to anything else that happens. So you're praying for our nation for what's coming up. We should always be in prayer for our nation that God will do something miraculous among us. Amen? Amen. Oh, so be praying. And I know I had some people ask, we personally as a church aren't collecting things for what's happened with the hurricanes, but there are a lot of organizations out there. You can hook up with them. And I know at first things weren't able to get in because it's just log jam and things were happening. But now it's more opening up. Listen for where things are needed, and you can participate in those things if you wish to. Okay? All right. Yes, Tom. Okay.
My buddy lost half of his house, but he's on his own. He had Lloyd's of London insurance, and they canceled. Everybody, insurance companies just walked out with no insurance, all that lost.
Okay. Well, when you hear of these things, we'll do our research back end of it to be sure about that stuff, but be praying for those things, that people that have put into it get what they put into it. Amen? Yep. And that God is able to help those that are in need, which we believe. Amen? Okay. All right. Get your Bibles out. Thank you, Tom. Isaiah chapter 61, if you'll turn there. We're 2 weeks into... It's really a single message to me, but I broke it up over 2 weeks. And the title is To the Brokenhearted. So Isaiah 61, To the Brokenhearted. The Bible talks of those that have a broken heart. The Bible talks of those who have experienced things in life that would have what they call crushed spirits. A broken heart is a reality. To experience things in life that seem to break your heart, to crush your spirit. People, and again, and I shared this last week, pastoring for as long as I have been in close situations with people that have experienced things that have literally broke their hearts. And get into multitude of different things. I'll never forget a quick story. At the time, I was a youth pastor, and there was a family, a mom and dad, that were on vacation, and they had somebody watching their kids, a teenager. And while they were gone, the teenager was killed while they were gone. I got a call. I get to the scene where it happened. There was another teenager there at the moment, and everything that was, he was involved in it, and I was with that kid for a moment. You can imagine the shell shock, what's going on with him. I rushed to the hospital. I get to the hospital. I'm the first one there. The hospital, chaplain came and told me the teen has passed away, and the parents weren't there yet. The parents come in. I'm with them. I know what happened. They don't. We're praying, and I know the outcome already. Then I'm there when the chaplain comes. We talk about a broken heart. These things, unfortunately, happen in our world. And as believers, I hate it. Hate it with a capital H-A-T-E, hate it, when we try to deny the reality of these things, as if we're trying to keep up a spiritual, I don't know what's face. That nothing could ever break my heart. That just foolishness. People experience the troubles of life. Amen. So we see this reality in the scriptures, and I wanted to speak directly to the brokenhearted the last couple weeks. See, there are times in life where you simply have to be honest. Honest. And admit that you need help. Amen. Now, if there's anybody that makes that statement that needs to live up to it, it's this guy right here. Because the last thing I ever do is ask for help. I'm just not good at it. You know why I learned to ask for help? I'll tell you when I learned to ask for help. When I had cancer, and I'm in the middle of my stretch of chemotherapy, when just folding the laundry would make me winded, I had to sit down. I learned to ask for help. And it was a struggle. I mean, it was hard to do, to say, I need help. To ask my kids for help, or ask my wife for help. Or even in the time of where I was pastor, asking for help in the church. There's a place of life where you must be honest and ask for help. And the brokenhearted, it's okay to ask for help. Now, a large way that people are healed is through relationships. By the way, that's why small groups are important. That's a whole other subject. But relationships are an avenue of healing in life. And the most important relationship you have is what? With God. As we were saying last week, God is near the brokenhearted. He's near. He's not distant. He's not far. He's not mad at you when your heart's broke. I think, again, sometimes well, my heart is broke. Maybe that makes God upset that I wasn't strong enough to overcome it when it happened. No, no, no. God is near the brokenhearted. He sees, right? In Isaiah 61:1, it's really, really straightforward here. Isaiah 61 and verse 1, this is the proclamation of Jesus that he read of himself and that this is, in his work and ministry, the fulfillment of it. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. Now watch this. And he has sent me to bind up the who? The brokenhearted. To proclaim liberty for the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. When Jesus read this, he stopped right there. He didn't go into this day of vengeance for God and all that stuff. He stopped right there, proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. See, the brokenhearted, those are crushed in spirit, part of the work of Jesus in this world, part of the work of salvation, is to bind up our broken hearts. Even if your broken heart happened after you were saved, he has come to work in a way that he is helping us in where we find ourselves in the issues of life. So Nehemiah's back there. Simply put up that first slide. This is a slide we ended with last week, but I wanted to reinforce it today. This is where we're going. In Jesus, listen to me, in Jesus, there is always, everybody say always.
Always.
Hope. And there is what? A future.
Amen.
If there's one thing I want you to understand, no matter where you stand in life today, here, right now, there is a future in front of you.
Amen.
No matter where you find yourself. And you find yourself with a broken heart today, you feel like your spirit has been crushed. Okay. But in him, there's hope. And in him, there's always a future. And that's really what I want to talk to you about today, the future you have in him. I have found that among a lot of things I do, one of the biggest things I end up doing as a pastor is simply encouraging people in the moments of their life. It's really, I would say, a good chunk of what I do is found in that. Now, I know there's a lot of people that want to help people, but they don't have the patience to help people because they want to rush them through their processes. It's kind of like this. Joe, can I borrow you for a second? Come on up, Joe. Let's just say Joe has a broken heart. Something happens like where he feels like his spirit is crushed. Sometimes when we want to help people, this is what we want to do. I want to push you out of your broken heart and past your trouble. Well, how many know that doesn't help Joe? See, come here. The brokenhearted need this. We'll walk this together. The broken heart don't need somebody going, you just need to be done with this. Thank you. You see what I'm getting at? Because the work of the Holy Spirit is bigger than you trying to push somebody through. And that's what I've experienced in pastoring people for as long as I have. That sometimes we get frustrated with people in their process, but we want patience when we're in ours. Instead of the willingness to walk with somebody, we just want to try to get them out of it as fast as I can get them out of it. See, the future that God puts in front of you, listen to me, there is no person on this earth can shove you into it. Because the future he puts in front of you, then he is the one that walks you there. And our job is in wisdom, encouragement, prayer, helping where we can. Get the arm around. I'm going to help you get where God's taking you. See what I'm getting at? This is the call of the Christian for those that have the broken heart. But the Bible does say that God is near the brokenhearted. He is working to make all things new, including your broken heart. Romans chapter 8, if you'll turn there with me. You find yourself in life and there's somebody trying to shove you through, say, I appreciate your encouragement, but how about you encourage me this way? You're allowed to say that stuff, you know? You're allowed to ask, hey, quit trying to shove me down the pipe here. I think everybody's got, for the most part, good motivations. But you're allowed to speak up for yourself in these moments. You know that? If there's people, I've had people in my life very encouraging, but they go about things a certain way. I've always said, hey, thank you, but stop. You're not really helping me right now. You're making this worse, actually. And you're allowed to say these sort of things. It's important that you walk the processes that God has you in. Now, Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Let's just read this for a little bit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Great encouragement from Paul here. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparisons with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That's talking about the new heaven and new earth and all of those things. For the creation, which is what we are in, waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. And that's talking about ultimately with the resurrection of the dead. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected to it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And that's talking about the effects of sin. But we will be free from it ultimately in the final salvation. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth and until now. But not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly as adoption to sons, the redemption of our bodies. Again, talking about the resurrection of the dead. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that, watch this, for those who love God, all things, everybody say all things, work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose, I'm thankful for that. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Now watch this. Because of this, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. See, he who did not spare his own son, that's Jesus, gave him up for all of us. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is interceding for us? But that's a big deal right there. I read all that to get to this section right here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, the sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor the present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you realize, encouragement here, that the troubles of your life, the brokenheartedness that you may have experienced, did not separate you from God. In your brokenness, you may have felt alone, but you were not separated from him. In your brokenness, you may have felt deserted, but God is near. And I think sometimes your perception means everything. Perception means a lot. You can have an attitude in your life, let me help you for a second, that nobody loves me, nobody cares, and in times of a broken heart, those things get magnified. And it's all a big lie of the devil. You understand that? Because first of all, if there's nothing, and that was a big extensive list that Paul wrote there, tribulations, trials, angels, what you cannot see, the demonic, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. No trials, tribulation, famine, nakedness, you lose all your clothes, that can't separate you from God. Nothing that you can experience in this life can separate you from him. Then you must not believe the lie that nobody cares, nobody loves me, I'm alone, nobody understands. Because God is near the brokenhearted. In fact, he has come in part, and the work of the kingdom is to actually bind up those who have the broken hearts. You must believe it. You see what I'm saying? By the way, can I give you a 3 or 4 sentence rabbit trail here? Can I do that? Nobody loves me. You're invited to church every single Sunday and Wednesday. I ain't ever get invited nowhere. You're invited here. We have a place for you. Nobody cares. We have like 8 small groups, man. You can jump into relationships in a small group if you want to. See, not only is God near, but the body of Christ, when it's doing its job, is here too. And we're here, by the way. Can I just say that? Now, because nothing can separate you from his love, then what does his love do? Well, everything that God is. And part of what God does is then he gives you hope and he gives you a future. But here's what I find is really interesting. This is what I think I need you to grab hold of today. Is that the part of the healing of our lives is directly connected to our ongoing discipleship. How is my life healed from a broken heart, a spirit that feels like it is crushed? Is directly connected to hand in hand, you can't separate it, from the ongoing discipleship in your life. Now, here's what I think people want. They want a very specific moment when it just happens. And often it is not that way. I'll give you an example. So I told you guys a couple weeks ago that they cut a cancerous spot off my back. 2 weeks ago, right? They cut this big hole in my back, and they stitched it together. So I have a line of stitches about that long across my back right there. They took the stitches out on Thursday. Thank God. They were agitating me. Now, here's the thing. The moment they put those stitches in my back, the healing process started. Was it fully healed? Nope. That's why stitches were in there for 2 weeks. Did it hurt? Yep. But then it started to heal. Instead of it hurting, it started to itch. I mean, what I'm talking about. That's just, and you can't itch it. My gosh, that's just terrible. But they left those stitches in there for 15 days. You know what they told me, by the way? You can't, and this was kind of funny because I went, huh. I kind of laughed when they said it. For the next 2 weeks, you can't lift anything over 10 pounds. I went, huh, yeah, like that's going to happen. But anyways, they gave me these restrictions of what I couldn't do. But the moment the stitches were put in, the healing process started, but yet the stitches had to stay in for 15 days, and even after they took them out Thursday, it still needs to heal. But the whole time, listen, it's getting better. And I have to have that perception, because if the moment they put the stitches in, I went home and it hurt, I could have said, man, this hurts. Nothing's happening. It's not getting better. Because my perception was such in the moment that I couldn't see or understand that something good was happening. I was just focusing on the fact that it still hurts. And then when it stopped hurting, started to itch, that's a whole different thing. Then I'm agitated, it's itching. Well, you say that's better than hurting. I don't know, man. If the itching was agitating, right? And then when they took the stitches out, I said, holy smokes, there's going to be a scar there. Great. All I need is another scar. Scar here from my chemo part, scar here from when they cut out my colon. Now I have a scar on my back. Why don't you put one here? I'll just be Scarface. How about that? I now have a scar. Great. You see, I'm getting at. If you stay with Jesus, he will be healing your broken heart, even if at first or at least a while it still hurts. Amen. And then it itches. And then even at the place where there is healing, it still may leave a scar that's noticeable in your life. See, I'm getting at. I know we want the moment, but it's the ongoing walk of discipleship with Jesus that actually brings healing long term. And to understand the patience of God doing work, but you have to have perspective that he is doing something because he does care and he is near to you. He is not far and he is doing this work. But look, you got to stay with him. It's the ongoing work of discipleship. Stay with them in the process. You see what I'm getting at? Because, Nehemiah, that second slide, please. See, your future is found as you stay with Jesus. Your future is found as you stay with him. I think everybody wants simply him to tell you what it is so you can go run into it. No, no, no. Discipleship is following him. Not getting a directive so you can run as fast as you want to go and then do it your way. Discipleship is following him and staying with him. And if you follow him and stay with him, he will walk you right into your future. And the whole time he's walking you into your future, he is healing and binding up the things that need it. See, I'm getting at. And although the broken heart may hurt in this moment, he is doing something if you'll be patient to keep with him. He'll take you there. See, the closeness of a God who doesn't just kick you out and say, okay, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to live this way, you got to forsake this, you got to pick this up. Good luck. I'll be back later to see how you did. No, he asked things, but yet then he, okay, I'm going to help you do this. I'm going to stay right with you as we go through this. Because ultimately, it's not your willpower, it's not your ability to heal on your own, but he is the one who does it all, if you'll stay with him. That is why I know it's possible. That is why all the hurt and the pain that I've seen over the years in people's lives, I still step back and say, but yet, listen, I know it's possible. There is hope and you have a future. And it's only because Jesus is involved and he's directly involved. He's not distant, but he's near to the brokenhearted. You see that? Your future is found because you stay walking with him. He's taking you somewhere. Your best is still in front of you. God has more for you. And he's taking you there. If you'll stay with him. And all the while, he's working on you in such a way that you may not fully understand what he is doing. Oftentimes, it's only hindsight when we realize how grace was working in our life. But if you're patient enough to know, if I just stay with him and I don't give up and I keep going on his lead, he is going to heal my broken heart. And to believe he's doing it. Psalm 23, probably the most well-tread psalm in the Bible. Psalm 23. If you'll turn there, we'll start in verse 1. So listen to this. The Lord is whose shepherd?
My.
You know how personal that is? And he's the good shepherd who pays attention to all the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, and because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, every area of my life he provides. Amen. Okay, so what does he do? He leads me where? You can go down through there, Nehemiah. Go to the next verse, please. To where? Green pastures. And he leads me where? What are green pastures and still and quiet waters? He pulls you out of the busyness of life, the hectic race, the rat race we live in, the craziness of life. And he says, I'm going to calm your soul down. He makes me lie. He knows what's best for me. He says, lay down. He says, why don't you lay down? I think some people don't want to relax. Lay down. Because this is best for you. He takes you beside the quiet waters. And in that, Nehemiah, next verse, he restores what?
My soul.
Healing. So that covers a lot of stuff, specifically the brokenhearted. The Lord will restore your soul, those crushed in spirit. If you'll do what? If you'll take his lead. Takes you to the green pastures, lie down. Takes you to quiet waters. Hey, let's go there. In all of this, now again, watch. He leads me in paths of righteousness. That is ongoing discipleship. See, they're together. The path of righteousness, he's taking me down those paths, he's leading me, and while he's doing it, he's allowing me to have these moments in green pastures and by the still and quiet waters. Because the whole thing is about the restoration of your soul. And he does it, what, for his name's sake? It's to his glory that he does these things. Nehemiah, next one, please. Even if you find yourself in what you would consider the valley of the shadow of death, don't fear. Why? He is near to me. Nothing can separate me from his love. Nothing. Even the valley of the shadow of death. He's near to me. He's with me. So I don't need to fear. I'll be caught up in all the things of life. I can have peace and contentment in my heart, even with a broken heart, because I know he's working on it. His rod, his staff, they comfort me because it's protection, it's direction, it's correction. Next one, Nehemiah, please. Even if you have enemies in life, what's he do in the midst of your enemies? He sets up a table and you have a feast with him. Now, don't get mad if he invites your enemy there, by the way. Gotta say that. But in the midst of all the craziness of life, if we'll let him, he prepares a feast for me. The goodness of God. He anoints my head with oil. That's healing properties. The cup of my life, it overflows. It's just not contained in myself, but it spills out to others. Next one, please. Now, I want you to watch this. Surely goodness and mercy, some translations have love there. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow. What's it do? It follows me. Think about that. It's like your shadow. It follows me. How long? All the days of. Now, who's in front of me? The shepherd. Well, Judah's there, yeah. Judah's like, I'm over here. The shepherd. Who am I supposed to follow? His voice, his leading, his ways. But my heart is broken. Okay, follow the shepherd. When you follow the shepherd, what follows you? Goodness and mercy. When I stay with the shepherd, goodness and mercy follows me. See how it goes together. When I get away from the shepherd, I lose goodness and mercy in that way. What does the brokenhearted need? Goodness and mercy. Healing. I follow the shepherd, and goodness and mercy stays with me. How do I go into my future? How do I always have hope? I follow the shepherd. He knows best. There's times we're treading the paths of righteousness and we're fighting the fight, and then all of a sudden he says, okay, hey, green pastures, let's lie down there for a little bit. Quiet waters, you need to spend some time there. Then in his wisdom, okay, let's get back on the path. All right, we're going to keep going. Wait, I'm following you, and I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death. He's still there. He never left. He's just not going to leave you there. Keep following him. And the whole time, goodness and mercy is with you. It's enveloping you. It's building up in you. You're being healed. And what you do is you eventually follow him right into eternity, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this is what Paul's alluding to with the groaning of creation, the sons of God being revealed in the resurrection. Paul was alluding to that and a whole business of, but in the meantime, we'll never be separated from his love. Just remember that. We'll never be separated from it until we get there. So you stay with the good shepherd, and he leads you into your future in your earthly life and healing, but then he leads you right into eternity with him. Forever I will dwell in the house of the Lord. In other words, where is the house of the Lord? Close proximity of relationship. I'm in his house. I'm a guest of his house. And as a good person that owns a house with guests in it, he treats you good. See, you want your heart to be healed, it may need healed, simply stay with him. In this ongoing growth, discipleship, things will happen in your life that start to deal with this broken heart. His comfort is found because you stay with him. His wisdom is found because you stay with him. His understanding begins to kind of break into your own brain when you stay with him. Because all the things that happen because you stay with him, goodness and mercy, goodness and love are always right there. All the way until kingdom come. new heaven, new earth, and all of the things that bring broken hearts in the world will no longer be. He's fixing it. He's working on it now, but he's going to fix it. Right? Amen. So I want you to be encouraged today. He is healing you. Now, you need, I know this may sound weird, but you need to want to be healed. That's important. But if you will just stay with him, he's going to take you there. So while you are carrying it in the moment, remember 2 weeks ago? His grace is sufficient for you. Because where you are weak, he is strong. His grace is sufficient for you. And after you are healed, you may have a scar. You know what? That's okay. You know, your scar means that you have a story to tell to help somebody else. Because the reason you still carry a scar is because in the way you've been encouraged in the healing of your life, you are then to turn around and encourage somebody else. And the greatest way that God can use you in encouragement of somebody else is to say, you know what? Believe it or not, I've been there. I'll show you the scar. It's right here. And let me tell you what God did for me. And he'll do it for you if you just stay with him. As a matter of fact, if you need to, I'll throw your arm around my shoulder. I'll help you walk this if you want. I'm here. I'll help. But see, that's where God, he didn't sow, but he comes and he reaps. He's a master doing that. You know that? He reaps where he doesn't sow. And he comes in, all these things we experience, and he's there. He brings you through. He says, now I got a plan. With your plan, you're going to help somebody else. That's amazing. Amen? God's got you right here. If this is God's hand, you're right here. He's got you. He's got the surest hands of anybody I know. I've felt lonely before, but I came to the realization God never dropped me. Had some moments where I thought my future looked cloudy, wasn't sure what was going to happen. Never slipped out of God's hand. Felt the brokenness of relationships before. But that didn't change my relationship with God. The whole time, right here. If I just stay there, see me through. Amen? To the brokenhearted, you have a future, and your future's in Jesus. Let's all stand up. So if you would, for a moment, I know last week we did this a little bit. Would like to today as we close out. If you say, my heart today, it's broken. We don't deny it. We don't look down on you because of it. You say, okay, that's where you're at. But I want you again, and probably 100 times already. Say, Lord, you know it's there. You're not ignorant of this. And I pray today you continue to do a work in my life. If today is the last day of the work, amen. But Lord, I'm impatient in following you. And as I'm following you and it's healing, your grace is sufficient. I can keep going. And all the while, I'm going to worship you because my perspective is you are doing something and you are taking me somewhere. I'm just not left stuck in the moment. So just ask him today, Lord, help me today. Lord, today where I feel weak, I know I'm going to be strong in you. And that's why I can have peace and I can have joy in the midst of all that's going on. So Lord, today I pray that you bind up those with the broken hearts. Give it to them today, once again. Give it to them. Let them know the situation once again. Draw your faith to him that he is the good shepherd and will take you somewhere. And I pray these healing processes that are happening to each one of us, Lord. They're going to be a strength of a testimony. We're going to take something you did not do, but use it for your glory. We thank you for that. Lord, encourage our hearts today. Encourage us. Lord, that we're strong in you. Lord, that we don't feel like we got to take a back seat or jump out of the race, but we simply keep going by your leading. I thank you, Lord, you see and you hear. And more than we understand, you've been responding. For you are good and you are worthy. And we praise you today. Heal us up, my goodness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody here real quick? I don't know. This just dropped in my heart right when I was saying in Jesus' name. Anybody here that you, and this is just, there's no necessary specific thing here, but is anybody here you feel like you just need to spend a moment at the altar before we leave today? I don't know if this is something in your own heart. Anybody? I'm going to have Samara just play for a few moments. I'm going to dismiss. But if you feel you just need to come down just for a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so. I don't want to rush out a bit. Okay? Sound good? Lord, I pray blessing on the house today. Bless us as we go. Get into our week tomorrow. As we come back together Wednesday, next Sunday, Lord. That we stand firm in you this week. Stand strong. Not moved. For you are with us in all things. Jesus' name. Amen. You're free to head out, but if you want to come down here for a moment, please do so. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.